Thank you. ready. Choir has set the pace today, brother. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to jump in the scripture here today. We're going to be in John chapter number 5, looking at the first 15 verses. Very familiar passage of scripture. I know Tim, Scotty, both I, we've all preached on this, a beautiful miracle of Jesus. John 5, beginning in 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and he knew that he had been now a long time in this case, he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed, and he walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." And he answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, 'Take up thy bed and walk.'" Then asked they him, "Well, what man is that which said unto thee, 'Take up thy bed and walk'?" And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, and a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus, finding him in the temple, said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Father, as we come to you today, thank you. Wow, I'm just amazed at just the service already. We're not here in the entertainment business, thank the Lord. Amen. We're not here to put on a show for anybody. Like Scotty said right out of the gate, we're here to just seek you. We're here for you, Jesus. We're here for you to use us however you see fit. And we've already seen that happen. We've seen our choir. We've seen our young folks stand and just belt it out for the kingdom of God. And that's what we're here for, is to exalt you and to magnify the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And God, I pray that even right now, the part that I have in this service, that I don't become a stumbling block or a hindrance in your word going out. I pray that you forgive me of my sins. Preach to me, God. Give me what I need today. Give us, all of us, what we need today, God, and direct us, direct our lives, that we can be closer to you than we've ever been before. Whatever it is that you need to do today, I'm praying that you do it, God. Let your Holy Spirit have a freedom in your house this morning. Everybody that's under the sound of our voice, God, we pray your Spirit is convicting and drawing and encouraging and strengthening, convicting, whatever it needs to be, God, we're praying that it happens so that we can get on our knees, God, and get in a right relationship with you. Again, we thank you for just the joy of being here in your house this morning. We're excited to be here today, and we thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Beautiful miracle when we read this, and there's a lot of things that we can concentrate on when we think about it. I want to basically go through some simple points, but there was something that I was kind of, not that I didn't know it, I think we all know it and know the importance of it, but I think that it was stressed to me over this past week and look at the scripture. So as we look at it, hopefully you'll be enlightened as well and be reminded of the importance of our prayers and how we pray. But the first thing out of the gate that we got to make mention of is Jesus come in for a feast. But when Jesus came in, what did he find? He found the pool at Bethesda there and the porches, the five porches. Why were there so many porches around the pool? Because there were so many sick folk there that needed somebody to help them get in that pool. I'm not going to talk so much about the pool, the stirring of the water by the angel, because there's a lot that we could talk about there. There's a lot of ideas there. There's a lot of people that believe different thoughts. So that's not really the point of the gist of what I want to talk about this morning, even though that is important. But I want to talk about the man. I want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about what happened when they interacted and when Jesus met him back again there in the temple. But we need to understand, which if you don't already, we're broken people. Amen. Hey, I guarantee you that the reason the man couldn't get to the pool was not because there was just one person with a problem in front of him. There were probably 50 people in front of him that had a problem. Everybody there at the pool of Bethesda was broken. And we can identify with being broken today, can't we? Can you identify with being broken? Maybe you don't feel broken right now, but I believe at some point in our life, we can identify with being broken. In Psalm 51, in verse number 17, here's what it says. As David was broken before the Lord, and that he poured out his heart before the Lord as he had committed that sin, and he was convicted of that sin, that God brought conviction to him. And as he started to cry out to God in Psalm 51 and saying, purge me, Lord, with your hyssop. God, cleanse me and make me whiter than snow. David was a broken man. In verse number 17, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. So David is pleading with the Lord. He said, God, I'm broken and I need your help. And so we're there. We've been there or we're there. Or listen, I hate to say it, if you're not there right now, you're going to be there. So what is it that causes us to be broken? Well, one thing that can cause brokenness is our own sins, our own choices, right? I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. And I hate to say it, I'm probably going to make a whole lot more before I go on to glory. Don't want to, but we just make bad choices. We make dumb choices. We sin and we disobey God. So one thing that can cause us to be broken are the very choices that we make. We can be as Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We could have everything. And then all of a sudden we can understand God's given us one simple rule. Just one. What do? We break it. And then we become broken because of the choices that we made. They were expelled from the Garden of Eden. They were no longer able to remain in that beautiful place that God had prepared for them and designed for them, and was very careful in his creation of the Garden of Eden. But he said, because you've sinned now and you've made those decisions, you're going to be broken because of that. And so he had to kick them out of the Garden of Eden. And we see that in our lives, don't we? I see the decisions I've made. I've caused myself and people I love a lot of heartache because of the decisions I've made in life. Now you think about it for just a moment, the decisions you've made and how you've caused heartache for yourself. You've caused brokenness for yourself. And in us choosing some of the things we do, we've caused other people around us to be broken as well. Well, it may be because of decisions that we make, and also it may be because of just the decisions of other people. You know something, you may be under attack by Satan. I don't want to say Job was perfect, because he wasn't. He's human, sinful creature. But at his time and in that moment, Job was probably as close to the Lord as anybody else could be. That's why that the Lord told Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He said, well, I can't touch him. You got your hedge around him. He said, I'll pull the hedge back and you can do anything you want to do to him. You can't take his life. You may be broken today because you're under attack and you don't understand why. Do you ever feel like all I do is try to do good, but I still am broken? Maybe you're just under attack. Or you know something, it may just be the circumstances of life. It may just be what city you live in, what town you live in. It may be what nation you live in. It may be the people you're related to. It may not be an initial attack from Satan himself. It may just be what's going on in the world today, and we're just under all of that. But whatever it is that causes it, understand this, that we are all broken people. So what do we do then when we're broken? This man was trying his best to get into the pool because that belief was that, I don't know if it was the first person, the first dozen, the first three. I don't really know how it works. We don't have a lot of scripture to go by to understand fully what happened at the pool of Bethesda. But we do know not everybody that got in the pool got healed. It was a limited number. So here we are broken. So what do we do when we're broken? Well, we want to try to get healed, right? We want to be made whole. And in Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33, one of my favorite passages of scripture, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." What did Jesus ask the man? Wilt thou be made whole? If you're broken and Jesus is asking you today, do you want to be made whole? What are you going to say? Oh, absolutely, I want to be made whole. Let's look at the definition of that word whole or wholeness as it's used in this context, which I think is very interesting. It means well in body and true in doctrine. Well in body, but true in doctrine. Amen. So it's not just a physical thing. When Jesus asked the man, do you want to be made whole? He wasn't just asking him, do you want to be healed of your infirmity? Do you want to be able to walk around? But he was saying, do you want to be true in doctrine as well? Do you want to be truly whole physically and spiritually? So when we're asked this question about what do we want to do if we want to be made whole, his response was, well, yeah, I'd like to, but I can't get to the pool. You see, his mind was so limited that he thought there was only one means of fixing the brokenness that he had in his life. If I could just get to that pool. Have you ever thought that way in life? Man, if I could just get this, my life would be amazingly better. Well, if I just get that job. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Hey, you've been there, right? Oh, if I could just get that girl to go out with me, my world would be changed forever. Boy, if I could just buy that new car, boy, I would be something. You know, whatever it is, we all have those things that we feel like, or if we have that ailment, you know, man, if I could just ever get this old leg to start working right, everything would be good. So what do? We go to the doctors, we spend money, we go to all kind of people and places and things, and we spend money and money and money, and we try to get that wholeness fixed. We'll go to those natural things. We'll go to whatever it is in the world that the world has to offer to help us get whole. I'm not saying it's wrong for us to go to the doctor when we hurt, we need to. But the problem falls when we choose to go to everything the world offers before we ever go to the Master. Amen. And to the great physician, right? Yeah, hey, I take a handful of medication every day too, just like the rest of you, right? We got to keep going, right? But you know, when we think about our condition, we think about our brokenness or whatever it is that's caused us to be broken, whatever it is that caused us to be here is really irrelevant to the fact that we are broken and we need to be made whole. So we will pray about, we'll put Band-Aid on the cancer. That's what we'll do, right? What he's telling us is we need to be concerned about our prayer life. We need to be concerned about what's going on. Yeah, we can go to the doctor. And we can say, man, I got this ailment or that ailment. I got five different things going on. And we'll seek counsel of a physician. But how many times do we even pray about it? And we talk to the Lord about what's really going on in our lives. What does that cause us to be broken? The Shunammite mother that had the child that died, her thought was this. If I can get to the man of God, I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to do something. If I can get a hold of God by talking to this man, this prophet of God, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if my son's going to be resurrected. All I know is that I am broken because my baby is gone and I got to get a hold of heaven. And that's what she did. She went and got a hold of heaven. well, the child was resurrected and come back to life. I'm not going to say that is always going to happen. But how many times do we really get serious and pray about the things that make us broken in our lives? Do we just want to talk to people? And do we just want to read the self-help books? Do we just want to be encouraged by people? Nothing wrong with that. If you're hurting and you got something ailing, you go to the doctor, but my goodness, pray about it. Get heaven involved in the things that are going on in our life. Don't wait for the big things to approach heaven. How many times do we wait until, oh, it's got to be some tragedy, some crisis before we'll ever reach heaven? Oh, somebody's got to have cancer before we really pray about it. You know, you scrape your knee, oh, I'll be okay. How about getting heaven in on that? I mean, you think God wants to be involved in just the big things in your life? Or do we think God wants to be involved in every aspect of our life? I mean, when you get a boo-boo, when you're little, what do? You run to mom and dad, right? Whichever one's better and more sympathetic. Usually that's mama. I want to go to the one that'll pet me, not the one that'll say, suck it up, buttercup. Yeah. Amen, right? We run to mama, you know. Why do we do everything but that when it comes to our spiritual life? Why do we sit and try to figure it out ourselves? Why do we try to cure the brokenness that we feel when he is sitting here waiting for us to come to him? The prodigal should have been home a long time ago. Why? Because the father was out there looking every day waiting for his son to come back home. Every day. Saying, if you want to be made whole, come back home, son. I'll fix you. I'll change what's going on in your life. So that's what we need to understand is that there is a way, there's a path to wholeness, not only for that physical wholeness that God wants us to have, but more importantly, that spiritual wholeness, which brings me to the point that I really was enlightened about. Our priority of prayer, okay? How many times when somebody comes to you, and I'm, you know, those of us preachers and those teachers, people that come to you for different things, spiritual advice, or talk to you about prayer requests, how many times somebody come to you with a physical problem that they have or that somebody has? 9 times out of 10, how do you pray for them when you pray? A lot of times we forget to pray though, right? That's why it's better to pray when they ask you right then. Don't put it off. But anyways, so when you pray, what do you pray for? You pray for that physical problem that they've got, right? If I'm going to pray for somebody and they've got a need, I'm going to do my best to pray for what's going on in their physical life. God nailed me between the eyes this week. In James chapter 5 and verse 15, of course, we all go here. You know, when we're talking about anointing someone with oil, if anybody's sick among you, bring them to the elder, bring them before the elders and pray on them. But in verse number 15, it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Or as we dissect this passage of Scripture, they're coming because they're broken, because they have a sickness, something going on. Any sick among you, bring them before the elders. And we know we've done that before here. We've tried to honor that passage of Scripture, and we've anointed with oil, and we've tried to honor biblically what God says in his word. We know there's no magic powers in the oil, but we know the oil is a symbol of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We know it's an identification of us coming together, agreeing upon one thing, which is to pray for the sick. But it's interesting when we read this passage of Scripture that he says that if he's sick, then he said, the prayer shall save the sick, and if he's committed any sins, those sins will be forgiven. When you pray for somebody, they come to you and they say, preacher, I'm sick. I've got whatever it is. I've got stage 4 cancer, and I need you to pray for me. You better know we're going to do the best we can to pray for that physical problem that you have. How many times do we ever pray about that spiritual problem that may be there and may be way, not maybe, but is way more important than that physical problem could ever be.
Yeah, amen.
Man, when that hit me this week, I went back to thinking, boy, when people ask me to pray for something physically that's wrong, I try to do that. I try to remember to do that. But you know what? I'm going to say maybe one time out of 10 I ever pray about where they're at spiritually. My mind started racing. I started thinking. Now, I don't want to be cruel here to anybody that's suffering with any kind of physical problem. I'm not making light of your situation because I know it hurts. And I know, when we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow, next week, next year, that's not something to joke about. But let's be very real from the Word of God for just a minute. If you're healed of cancer, but you have no relationship spiritually with Jesus Christ, what have you gained?
Amen. Yeah.
If we're praying for that physical healing comes, but yet you die lost, or yet you continue to live a life out of fellowship with Christ, what has been the purpose of the physical healing? What has it gained you? Now, I know people may ask, well, would God even heal somebody that's lost? You think God's ever healed anybody that's been lost before they got saved? Yes, He has. There were 10 lepers that met Jesus one day. And Jesus said, you 10 men, you go show yourself to the priest so he can declare you clean because you've been made whole. All 10 walked away. How many came back to Jesus? One come back and praised Jesus for that physical healing. You know what happened to the rest of those guys? We don't know anything else that happened to them. We don't know. We're assuming. But let's say if they had have come back to Jesus, I think we'd have known about it. Those other 9 men that went away were physically healed. They probably lived long lives. But they died and went to hell because they never believed and trusted in Jesus Christ. That one man came back. So what is the value of physical healing if we are so intense about praying for the physical aspect of our lives when the spiritual side is dying? Does it have any merit? Is there any importance in it or goal in it? My goodness, God hit me and He said, you better start praying about where people are at spiritually, son, then pray about where they're at physically, because that'll take care of itself. If we get our priorities straight, if I get my priorities straight, and I'm praying for the soul of man, for the heart of that person that asked me to pray for them, then you know something? It doesn't matter if they're physically healed or not, or they get the liberty they need in whatever ailment or whatever brokenness they have. If we're where we need to be with Jesus Christ, we can endure anything that comes our way, right? So we need to begin to pray for that spiritual aspect of our lives. I'm going to do my best from now on. If you come to me with a prayer request about something physical, I'm going to do my best to pray about spiritual side first. Until Christ heals, or if He chooses not to heal, understand, the most important thing that can happen is that we can be in the center of God's will. So that if we are healed, 100% praise goes to the healer that set me free. That if we're not healed, for whatever reason God deems necessary, that if His sovereignty, we don't like to just say, well, we got to trust His sovereignty because that means God can do whatever He wants to do, and I don't have to understand why. We don't like the sovereignty of God. But I'm going to be in a place spiritually that I'll be able to withstand whatever it is. That's why Paul kept the thorn in the side, didn't he? God knew it was important for him to have that ailment, important for him to have that little bit of brokenness in his life. And he said, I'm not going to completely heal you of this. I'm going to make you dependent, just like these little babies right here. They're dependent on somebody to take care of them. God said, Paul, I'm going to make you dependent on me the rest of your life, because if you get too independent, you're going to get too big for your britches, and I can't have that. So I'm going to let you have this little bit of brokenness right here. But as long as Paul was where he needed to be spiritually, the thorn in the flesh was not a complete hindrance to the work of God in his life or his ministry or his witness to everybody that he was out there coming in contact with. You know, when we if we were to open up right now, which we can't do it, don't have time, but if we were to open up right now and say, well, anybody got a prayer request, probably 90% of them is going to be a physical problem. Amen. I'm not saying that's wrong or making fun of that, because we need to pray about those things. But with every prayer that we pray, regardless of what it's about, man, I'm going to try to start hitting that spiritual problem first. That God, whatever they're going through physically, whatever they're going through emotionally, whatever they're going through mentally, whatever they're facing a crisis in their family, whatever that they're dealing with, God, get them on their knees before you and get them right with you so they can face whatever it is. Because here's why we need to do that. Internal change affects external actions. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Internal change. If you're different on the inside, it affects how you respond to everything outside. You know what probably happened to those other 9 lepers that never came back? Yeah, they were whole. Man, they were healed. That body was something wonderful. But then they probably had financial trouble the rest of their life and stayed in misery and anxiety and depression. Something, my friend, will get you down if you're not where you need to be with Jesus. Whether it's this thing or something else or something next week, don't think it's all fixed when we get this ailment taken care of. Don't think because this brokenness has been mended that I'm all good now. It completely, totally depends on where we're at with Jesus as to how we face everything in our life. And that's what we need to be concerned about. Psalm 23 and 4, I love this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does he say then? I will fear no evil. How in the world do you walk through a valley of the shadow of death? Come on. We read this. Some of you got this memorized. Do you even know what that means? How do you walk through death? Be like going to prison and going and visiting the guys on death row, dead man walking. And everybody going to be executed within a week. Who wants to walk around in that? Nobody. Who wants to go through those hospital wards where there's just a terrible disease that's invaded and everybody that gets within a breath of it is dying? I think that's what he's alluding to here. Even though I'm in the very midst of the shadow of death hovering over me and wanting to destroy me, he said, I will fear no evil. How in the world can somebody do that? You can't do it. We can't face death or be in its shadow unless, for thou art with me, for thy rod and thy staff comforts me. That's how we face problems in life, people. That's how we can stand through the brokenness that we have, because our heart is steadfast and sure in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. My friend, the things that we face, the brokenness we face in life, must always be secondary to what is going on inside. Because I'm going to tell you something, Jesus in you is stronger than you think he is. And you can face way more than you ever thought you could as long as we're on our knees and we're surrendered to him. You ever talk to people that have gone through a lot of trauma in life? They have that smile on their face. And it's not put on. It's not a front. It's not just for show. And they're completely broken as soon as they get behind closed doors. I mean, you see them, they're real. You say, how in the world are you enduring through that? How are you going through that? Jesus. Jesus will do stuff for us that we never dreamed he could do. I also know people, too, that when facing brokenness in life, go through about 15 different kinds of hysteria. I'm not so sure they're depending on God a whole lot. I understand emotion. I understand it's getting worked up. I understand it's being affected by the things in our life. But my goodness, it shouldn't have to go on forever. If I'm saved,
yeah.
I'm an emotional creature. And I'm going to be affected by things that cause me pain or cause my family or my loved ones pain. I'm going to be hurt by those things. But friends, we should never question God. We should always at least trust that He's still God, and somehow He's going to take care of us through whatever pain we're in, brokenness that we're in. How we are on the inside has a direct effect on our external actions. I will fear no evil. When Paul got saved, I don't know outside of Jesus a man suffered as much pain as he did. Well, Joseph came pretty close in the Old Testament, didn't he? We see stories about a lot of people that suffered a lot of things, but they endured through those things. Why? Because where they were on the inside with God. If you want to be able to endure brokenness in your life, let's make sure we're praying the right way. Don't just pray for God to fix the brokenness. Don't just pray for us to get that one more thing to make my life complete and whole and pure, because that one thing ain't going to fix what's going on if the inside's not where it needs to be. And then here's what happens in John chapter 5 and verse number 14. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple. The same man Jesus slipped away, and then he found him later in the temple. And he came up to him and he said, "Behold, thou art made whole." You reminded the man what happened to him. You were broken, and I made you whole. Remember that. Then he said to him this, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." It's not just one and done. I know salvation is a one-time event that we choose that moment in time in our life to believe in Jesus Christ. He comes in and becomes Savior of our soul. But then it begins that beautiful relationship that we have with Christ. And every decision we make at that point affects how we face life. John chapter 8, verse 10 and 11 says this. When Jesus had lifted up himself and he saw none but the woman. Remember, the woman had been taken in the act of adultery. He said to her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers?" And she, "Hath no man condemned thee?" Jesus asked. She said, "No man, Lord." These guys had stones and were about ready to kill her. And Jesus said, "Ye without sin cast the first stone." So they dropped from the oldest to the youngest their stones. They left. And Jesus looked at her and he said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She looked up with tears in her eyes. She said, "I don't see any, Lord." And Jesus said this, "Neither do I condemn thee." Jesus saying, "I fix your brokenness. I'm not condemning you." But then he says this, "Go and sin no more." It's not just because you've been saved, your life is going to be perfect. But it's every day of your Christian walk you must nurture and build upon that salvation of Jesus Christ, that relationship with Him, so that we can be able to face whatever it is that comes down the path for us that God has set for us. We're going to be tempted, right? We're going to be tested. We're going to have situations and circumstances that are going to come our way. We're going to make decisions that are causing us to be broken. We're going to find brokenness. If we live in this world, we will find brokenness, because the world is broken and we're living in it. So if we can't fix the brokenness, we can pray to the one that can fix it. But first off, let's be praying that we are individually where we need to be with Jesus Christ. I don't want to be one to get mad at God if the healing don't happen the way I want it to. I know several people that's got mad at God because healing didn't happen the way they wanted it to. I understand we hurt. I understand we love people. I get it. I get all of that. I want to make sure that I'm where I need to be in here, so that whatever happens in my life, yeah, I'm going to be affected by it. But I'm not going to lose my faith in Jesus Christ, because He died on the cross for my sins and He loves me more than I could ever love myself or anybody else. Let's make sure we're fixed in here so that when we pray, our heart is in the right place. And when we are approached by somebody else to pray, let's pray for that spiritual life they have, or maybe they don't have. Could you imagine if just everybody in this room was in the center of God's will? We would change the country.
Amen.
But now if all of our physical ailments were healed, I'm not so sure we're going to have a huge impact on our country. We may just be walking a little higher, stepping a little higher. But man, let's start praying for our spiritual walk with God. Amen. Let's do that. You pray for yourself. You pray for those around you. Stand with me.